Hey, everyone, we are here. We are ready to go. New Hope Radio, glad you're with us today. We're continuing to look at the riches of divine grace. And that means that at the moment of salvation, when you put your faith in Christ as Savior, you know what happened? 36 things happened to you. Wow. You weren't just like saved. But in that salvation, there are 36 things that we're looking at. You know, think of salvation as a wonderful gift from God. It's what it is. But to truly appreciate it, we've got to know all that accompanies it. And that's why we're examining 36 things that accompany your salvation. I call it the riches of divine grace. Now, when we began, we saw the first 9 things that happen at salvation, right? Remember those? I'd write them down if I were you, because the whole intention is that they give you assurance in your faith. Oh, yeah. You want to be secure in your walk with God. So, number one, we're placed in God's plan. That's the first thing that happened. Placed in the plan of God at salvation. Okay? Number two, predestined to become like Christ. After salvation, then we're predestined. Thirdly, we're called with a holy calling. Oh, yeah, special calling on your life. Number four, we're declared just by God. Number five, we're glorified. It means that we're esteemed glorious. Number six, after salvation, we become God's elect. And number seven, we become God's chosen. Remember, Christ is the only chosen one, so when we're in Him, we become chosen. Number eight, we're reconciled, so we're changed in our relationship with God. Okay? Number nine, we're related to God through propitiation. Okay? So those are the first 9 things that happen. Then we looked at 7 more. We're forgiven of all of our sins. Like, really? Yup. Past, present, future. Forgiven of all those trespasses. Wow. 11, we're delivered from the power of the sin nature. 12, free from the law. 13, we become a child of God. 14, adopted into the family of God. 16, accepted in God through Christ. God has accepted us just as we are, because you know why? We're in Christ. Now that's important, because a lot of people go through life with feelings of rejection. But if you're a Christian today, I want you to live in the feeling of acceptance. Acceptance by God. So these are all good news. They're all good news. But I want to look at 3 more today. 3 more things that happen at the moment of salvation. This is number 17, if I've got them numbered right. You are brought near to Christ. That's important. You know why? Because the Bible says in Ephesians 2:13, now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Think about it. Before salvation, we were far off, right? Formerly far off. Not far out, far off, right? Away from Christ, and therefore away from God. That's before salvation. Away from Christ and away from God. Paul qualifies it in verse 12. Remember that you were at that time separate from Christ, excluded from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Man, that's how you get to a place of no hope. You know how? You're without God. No God, no hope. That's the way it works. We're talking about eternity future. Got no God? You got no hope. But now, if you've got God, you've got hope. And what is hope? Elpis. Elpis means a certainty. It's for sure. Hope is not a wish or a desire. It's a certainty. You've got God. You've got the certainty of heaven. So Paul says, now you have been brought near through Christ's sacrifice. See, the Ephesians, he's talking to the Ephesians here. They were religious people, but without the true God. And Paul is showing them, it's not their really religiosity, but Christ's death that brings them into God. Okay? Having been brought near, that's a work of God. See, God did it all. This is all the work of God. God has done 36 things for us. We didn't do anything. He did them all for us. So we were brought near. Let me give you a little Greek lesson. The tense is the aorist tense. It means at a point in time. What was that point in time when you believed? It's a passive voice. It means that something happened to you. An active voice means that you did it. A passive voice means that it happened to you. And what happened to you? You were brought near to God by God. Okay? You were brought near to God through Christ. He did the work. And then in the indicative mood, it's a certainty. Aorist tense, passive voice, indicative mood. At a point in time, you receive the action, and it's a guarantee. It's a certainty. You don't have to doubt your salvation. Oh, once you're saved, you don't have to doubt being saved. Why? Because it's all the work of God. That's why. Lewis Spiri Schaefer says, divinely wrought positions are often accompanied by a corresponding Christian experience. This is true of the subject at hand. So what does he mean? That God does something, so we're expected to do something. What are we expected to do? Well, if God has brought us near, I think James nailed it in James 4:8. He said, okay, now you draw near to God, and he will draw nearer to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. So he's saying, listen, God has done all the work, but man, will you respond? Will you respond to God? And by the way, when James says, draw near to God, aorist tense, point in time, active voice. Now this is something we must do. And by the way, it's a command. It's a command. It's like, no, this is not an option. If you want to live the abundant life, this is what you need to do. Okay? How important this is. See, God does all the work, but man, there's a responsibility on our part if we're going to benefit from what God has done. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 10:22, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean, I like that part, from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, in Hebrews 10:22, when it says, let us draw near, that means we have a choice. It's a subjunctive mood. Subjunctive mood means maybe I will, maybe I won't. It's not a command here. It's a choice. See, the choices we make that are the right choices always bring a benefit. The choices we make that are the wrong choices, they always bring a consequence. And you know it, right? You've been there. I've been there. Oh, yeah. We've made good choices and received the benefits, and we've made some bad choices and received the consequences. It's true. That's the way it works. So let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. We're still in Hebrews 10, okay? Hold fast. Hold fast. Hang on. Again, subjunctive mood. It's your choice. Are you going to do it? He said in verse 24, let us consider how to stimulate one another. Again, subjective mood. Will you do it or not? Stimulate one another to what? Love and good deeds. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as the habit of some is. It's another choice. Oh, the Christian, God has done all the work, and then he puts the choice in our hand and says, will you respond? Will you take advantage of everything I've done for you? I hope so. Encourage one another, and all the more, as you see the day of Christ drawing near. So, when you see the subjunctive mood, it's the make or break point in our Christian life. It's like God has brought us near, right? But you can pray, you cannot pray. It's always a subjunctive mood. You can serve, you cannot serve. It's a choice. You can give, you cannot give. It's a choice. Okay? Our choices will either make us or break us. Secondly, whether we do these things or not, because of our position, we're always near to Christ. We're always near to God through Christ. So, here's what I'm saying, and it may be dangerous. God has brought us near. And if we don't have positive responses to that, we're still near. Okay? Christ has brought us to the Father. And if we don't make positive choices to respond to that, we're still near to the Father. Because it's all the work of God. The choices that we make are for our benefit. For what? A better life. Rewards in eternity. But if we don't make those choices, we're still near to God. Are you tracking with me? Okay? These are not choices to get in with God. We're already in with God. These are choices to benefit from being in with God. That's the grace of God. See, the grace of God, he's done all these things for us. And he's hoping that we would have a positive response. So we would get more from that relationship. All right? Number 18. 18th thing that happens at the moment of salvation. We're delivered from the power of darkness. Oh, that power of darkness, man, is powerful. Paul said in Colossians 1:13, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. See, before salvation, we were in darkness. We were. But now we've been brought into his marvelous light. What does it mean to be delivered from the power of darkness? Well, let's see what darkness looks like. Here's what it looks like. In 2 Corinthians 4:4, Paul said, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving. Okay? So, the power of darkness keeps people in unbelief. In Ephesians 2, you were dead in your trespasses and sins, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. Before salvation, we walked in darkness. Okay? We thought in darkness. We walked in darkness. We acted and lived in darkness. But now because we've been delivered, John said, 1 John 5:19, we know that we are of God and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. But see, we have been delivered from that. We've been brought into his marvelous light. The world we live in is a very dark world. But we've been brought out of that darkness. Yes, we're in it, but we're not of it. Okay? That's the thing. Yeah, we're in this world, but we're not of this world. It means that we don't derive our strength from this world. We don't derive our identity from this world. We derive our strength and our identity from Christ. And as God's people, we need to understand that and we need to abide in it. Because you know what the world will do? It'll use you and then it'll chew you up and spit you out. That's all it does, because it's Satan's world. He has nothing good for you, nothing at all. So you live in the light that Christ has placed us in, and you'll see a whole lot better. You'll understand a whole lot better. Your perspective toward life will be a godly perspective, a divine viewpoint. Okay? That's what we need to do. We need to abide in everything that God has done for us. What's God done for us? Well, I'm giving you 36 things that God has done for you, and they all took place, boom, simultaneously at the moment of salvation. Hey, you watch the news, right? Oh, my word. It's getting worse every day. Every day. But you can still have hope. You can have hope in Christ, even though the world is on a downward spiral. Okay? It's on a downward spiral, but we don't live in the world. We live here logistically, but no, we don't derive anything from it. What we need, we derive from God. So we live differently. We don't live like those that are in darkness. They only live one way, because they're under the influence of the evil one. We're under the influence of the Holy Spirit. He lives in you, and he's producing his fruit inside of you. You know what he's producing inside of you? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness. I like these. Faithfulness, gentleness. Oh, here's a good one. Self-control. We need that one, right? Self-control. This comes from waging spiritual warfare against the kingdom of darkness in this world. So that's why we need to have the Holy Spirit produce these virtues in us, and we need to put on the full armor of God, because we're living in a battlefield. Okay? We are in a spiritual warfare, and it's really dark out here. All right, two to go. Number 19. We're translated into God's kingdom. This kingdom is now here. It's not in the future. It's here. I know there's a millennial kingdom to come. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's kingdom here. And what is that kingdom? It's the authority that's over us. See, when we're saved, we're immediately translated into another kingdom, God's kingdom. We come out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. We come out of the devil's kingdom into God's kingdom. So this calls for an adjustment in our life, right? Out with the old, in with the new, right? 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Walk in a manner worthy of the God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. There it is. Walk worthy. Oh, that's in the present tense, by the way. You know what that means? Every day. It's always present. So now, every day, I walk worthy of God. I have a worthy walk. All right? I live a noble life. I hold my head up high. I belong to God. I'm a child of the King. And we walk worthy whether you feel like it or you don't feel like it. You walk worthy when things are going your way or when they're not going your way. Okay? It doesn't matter. It's a worthy walk at all times. We're walking worthy of the name of Christ. The last one I have for you today, 17, 18, 19, 20. I think I had four, not three. But this last one for today, it promises us stability. Oh yeah, we need stability. We're placed on the rock. When Jesus told the parable of the wise and the foolish builders, he wasn't interested in the building that they built. He didn't talk about how nice the house was going to be, the windows, the doors. He talked about the foundation that they were building upon. He said, the difference between the two houses, one had a foundation and one did not. And when the storm came and hit those two houses, one fell and one remained. The one that fell had no foundation. The one that remained was built upon a rock. As it is with our own lives, it's the foundation on which we are building that matters. It's not what follows, it's the foundation. The quality of your life, and not the materialistic part, but the quality, the part that money can't buy, is determined by what you have for a foundation. Because the things that money can't buy are the things that God has placed inside of you. As the hymn says, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. You know, that song was written in 1834, and it certainly hasn't gone out of date. So now that you have a sure foundation to build on, the Apostle Paul, you know, he chimes in 1 Corinthians 3:11, and he says, no man can have a foundation other than Christ. That's the foundation that we build on. If any man builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and straw, each man's work will become evident. For the day will show it, because it'll be tested with fire. And if any man builds on Christ, he'll receive a reward. And if not, his work will suffer loss. Think about it. What Christ is our stability. If your influence, if your career, if your personality, if your money is your foundation, that can all be gone in a moment. Gone in a moment. Because that's all overt. But what God puts inside of us, that can't be taken away. If that's your foundation, you will stand strong in the storm. So, in a quick summary, and I know we cover a lot of stuff here, and sometimes I can be a little confusing. At the moment of salvation, here's what we saw today. You're brought near to Christ. God did it. And even if you don't respond positively in your life, you don't come near to Christ, once you're brought near to Christ, you're always near to Christ. That's the grace of God. That's a scary message. Some people won't preach it. Some people will say, no, you got to bring yourself near. No, I'm telling you, God has done that for you. The moment you were saved. 18, you're delivered from the power of darkness. Darkness means I can't see where I'm going. I'm delivered from that. Now I can see. I have a divine perspective. I'm in the light. I'm walking in the light. You'll know it when you're walking in the light, because you'll become really smart. You'll have divine wisdom. Okay? You'll know. Number 19, you are translated at the moment of salvation into God's kingdom. You're rescued from the kingdom of Satan, and you're brought into the kingdom of God. And now you walk worthy as a child of the king. That's right. You hold your head up high. You have royal blood flowing through your veins. And then number 20, you're placed on the rock. You have a foundation that can't be moved. And you abide on that foundation. You build your life on Christ. The storms will come. Oh, yeah. Sickness, unemployment, divorce, loneliness, rejection. The storms will come. But because you're building your life on Christ, you will be sustained. And you will survive. And you will carry on. You got to believe that, because God did it for you. That's 20 things that happened at the moment of salvation. Guess what? I got 16 more to go. Oh man, I'll say, if I were you, I'd keep listening to these things. I'd keep studying these things. because this is our assurance. Yes, the storms will blow, and the winds will come and try to take you down, and the devil is your arch enemy. But when you build assurance like this from these 36 things that happen at the moment of salvation, I'll tell you what, you're going to be on a rock that can't be moved. And that's what we need, isn't it? We need to be people that cannot be moved by overt circumstances. And you'll be that people when you have this solid foundation, this solid certainty working for you on the inside. Remember, all these things happen simultaneously. In a moment, 20 things we looked at so far happen. In a moment, the day you said, "Yes, I believe Jesus died for my sins." Oh, and we got 16 more to go. Stay with me. Stay with me. Go to the podcast. Go to the Hope Club podcast, newhopecc.tv. Make a return visit. Hear these things over and over and over again. Join the Hope Club too. Get a devotional in your email Monday through Friday. Support New Hope Radio. $3 a week. It's like buying a coffee for New Hope Radio. That's all you have to do. Go to our website, newhoperadio.live. Click the menu bar. Read all about it. Thank you for joining. Thank you for helping us to be here every day. Have a great day. I'll see you next time for more of New Hope Radio.